Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast number 36.
Hi, this is Amy, the Senior Group Fitness Instructor at the Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast. Are you looking for a spark of inspiration to bring to your next class? Find us at indoorcycleinstructor.com.
Welcome to the Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast. I'm your host, Amy McGowan, and you can reach me by email at amy@indoorcycleinstructor.com. Back on podcast number 30, John announced the formation of a new metrics instructor panel to evaluate their new heart rate monitoring athletic apparel. We had a dozen female instructors who met the qualifications, and they each received a new metrics sports bra and clip-on transmitter. Over the past month, they each had a chance to teach and work out with the garment, as well as review the heart rate training information available at the Coach's Corner on the new metrics website. Joining me is the author of the new metrics Coach's Corner, celebrity coach Dr. Alinda Perrine. Together, Alinda and I are conducting a conference call with the members of the Numetrics instructor panel to get their reactions to the Numetrics sports bra they were given to evaluate. Alinda, welcome back to the Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast.
Thanks, Amy. I am really excited to be here and also hear what our panel has to say about the Numetrics product as well as using heart rate in their classes.
Well, me too. It's time to introduce our panel. Charlotte, we'll start with Charlotte. Charlotte Stout is on our panel. Charlotte, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Brownstown, Pennsylvania. It's Lancaster County. I don't know if anybody's familiar
with
that.
Well, welcome to our panel tonight. And how often do you teach cycling, Charlotte?
I was teaching three times a week. I'm down to two now.
Okay, well, welcome. We've got Jill Mackey with us. Jill, where are you calling from?
Chester Springs, Pennsylvania.
Welcome. And where do you teach cycling, Jill?
I teach at Ellis Fitness and also at Level 5 in Malvern.
Great. We've got Sue Pomeroy. Sue, where do you call us from?
I'm calling from Inverness, Illinois. It's about 25 miles northwest of Chicago.
Welcome. And how long have you been teaching cycling?
I am going on my 13th year of teaching cycling.
Wow. Wow. Nice to have you. Rita Daniels.
Yes.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Jacksonville, Florida.
I think you probably have the warmest weather so far.
Oh.
And where do you teach?
I teach for the YMCA and for Powerhouse Gym.
Wonderful. Thank you for being here. Kara Daly, where are you calling from?
I'm from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
And how often do you teach cycling?
I teach 5 hours a week.
Welcome to our panel. Tiffany Staples, where are you calling from?
From Monroe, Georgia. It's right between Athens and Atlanta.
Thank you so much for being here. And how often do you teach cycling?
I teach 3 days a week.
Okay, perfect. Danette Hoffman, where are you calling from?
Westminster, Colorado. It's about 20 minutes northwest of Denver.
Okay. Angie Cupp, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Kingsville, Texas. It's near Corpus Christi.
Welcome. And where do you teach your cycling classes?
I teach for the U.S. Navy on the Navy base here.
Welcome. Glad to have you. Jennifer Mattson, where are you calling from?
From Madison, Wisconsin.
Almost like your name. That's easy to remember.
Right.
And where do you teach your cycling classes?
I teach at the YMCA and also at Pinnacle Health and Fitness.
Great. Thank you very much. Ann Williams, where are you calling from?
McKinney, Texas, north of Dallas.
Welcome. And how long have you been teaching?
About 2 years.
Glad to have you. And Jesse Pearsall. Welcome back. You've been on the podcast before. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling in from Downingtown, Pennsylvania.
All right. Glad to have you. And where do you teach your cycling classes?
I also teach at Level 5 Fitness and Conditioning in Malvern, Pennsylvania.
Wonderful. Well, glad to have you. And for those of you that don't know, my name is Amy McGowan. I'm John's wife, and I teach at a fitness center called Lifetime Fitness. I teach at least three classes a week, and I've been teaching cycling for about 10 years. So, Dr. Alinda, it's your ball game now, and I'm going to let you take over and do your thing.
Okay. Well, first of all, welcome everybody, and thank you so much for being part of this panel. And I'm just so excited as I listen to where all you are coming from and the experience you have. And so I hope tonight will be not only a product review, but I'd like to give you an opportunity to ask any type of questions with regard to heart rate training or how to use a heart rate monitor in a cycle class. And I'm sure we could go on for hours and hours, and I know John can't keep a podcast for hours and hours, but if you just jot down some questions, or maybe you already have your questions ready, we'll try to do that. Just to also let you know, NewMetrics is definitely interested in your feedback, and I am interested in your feedback as far as heart rate training, just because I created the system called ZoneX, and I really would like to hear your positive comments and also any type of constructive criticism you can give. I'm definitely open for that. So let's start off first this evening by talking about the NewMetrics sport bra, because it's always fun when you get a free piece of apparel. And the first thing I'd like to do is like to hear your positive comments with regard to the sports bra and what you really liked about it. So whoever wants to start, go for it.
This is Amy, and I really, really loved the sports bra. I wear it other times than when I'm actually monitoring my heart rate because I find it so comfortable.
This is Kara. I thought it held up great being washed. I think I washed this maybe 8 or 10 times, and there was no problem.
This is Jennifer.
Oh, go ahead, Jennifer.
I was just going to say, I really liked how the clip-on heart rate monitor seemed to give the instant read for your heart rate, as opposed to like a strap where sometimes you have to get sweaty or lick it before you start getting the feedback. So I love that about it.
Hi, I'm Rita, and I thought that the sports bra was well made. It just seemed to hold up really, really well. And it had some separation to it as opposed to the unibra thing. Uniboob thing.
Uniboob thing, yeah.
Yes. Yes. I think we all get that picture.
Okay. This is Jessie. I thought the fabric was very soft and high quality, and I also thought that the whole interface with the little with the sensor was very comfortable.
This is Sue Pomeroy, and I thought it was super comfortable. I've been training for a half marathon, and I had a huge cut across my chest from the old strap, and it's now healed up. So I've really appreciated the comfort of it.
So you were wearing it both indoor and outdoor?
No, only indoor at this point.
Oh, only indoor. Okay, very good.
This is Anne, and I thought it gave great support. I used it on the cycle, and then I used it on the treadmill also, and I thought it was great.
This is Charlotte. I just loved the freedom that I had, not knowing that I had that strap on. It wasn't falling down constantly in the back. I kept on forgetting that I actually had my heart rate monitor on, so it was just a dream. So thank you very much.
This is Tiffany, and I agree with Charlotte. I have a problem with my ribcage being a good bit larger than my waist, and when I breathe, it obviously gets a little bit bigger. And having it in the sports bra was so much better than a strap.
This is Donette Hoffman, and I've actually used mine outside walking my dog and running my dog. So I just want to say it's comfortable, and I like the fact that I don't have to use the strap. I like that the little the transmitter's inside the bra, so you don't feel it at all.
Great. Do we have anybody else?
Yeah, I'll do it. This is Angie.
Okay.
I like the fact that, again, that I didn't have to wear the strap. A lot of times when you wear the strap, it as you use it, it gets loose, and if it's not tight, it doesn't give you the right heart rate or it doesn't pick it up at all. So I liked that feature.
Super. Anybody else? Well, let me talk about the garment here just for a minute, and let me first say that I am not a salesperson for NewMetrics, so I come strictly from the educational point of view, and also I was the person in charge of conducting third-party panel testing for this particular product. We had a number of people like you who were wearing it for both indoor and outdoor. And I want to point out three things that I think you need to know about the product. Number one, at this point, the transmitter that you snap in is analog only. So if you put that with a digital watch, and most of the digital watches are made either by Timex or by Suunto, if you put it with a digital watch, it may, you know, it's not going to work. But if you put it with any analog transmitter watch, it will work. So I think that's a really nice advantage. Another point is the bra itself. One of the things that we really looked at when it came to fit was a lot of people who have a small rib cage, they have the exact opposite problem of those people who have a larger rib cage. And the small rib cage is very hard to fit with a strap because you just can't get them small enough. The same thing happens with kids. You know, if you have small kids, it's very hard to put a heart rate monitor on a small chest because they aren't made for small chests. So with this particular bra, with the smart fabric, which is what we call something with a that will give you physiological data off of a piece of cloth, the smaller rib cage person is fit much easier and much more accurately. So I think that's a really important aspect of the product. And the third aspect of the product that I think is really important that we look at is it durable? And again, with the washing, I'm glad somebody had washed their product at least 12 times. You don't want to dry it, but we have found that the durability of the actual sensors is really, really good. So I hope as you wear it in the future, you've had it for a month, but I hope that you'll keep wearing it, keep looking at it. I invite you to email me at any time and just, you know, give me feedback from the product. So I really appreciate that. Now, tell me, where were some of the problems that you might have found with the product? Anybody have a problem with the product?
No.
I had some problems getting it to read consistently. I found that it had to be really soaking wet. Like, I actually had to run it under the faucet to get it to read, and then it would blank out on me occasionally and was erratic. I didn't find that it was working as consistently as my chest strap was with my monitor.
Did you feel that the fabric was rolling at all? Was it flat against your skin?
Yeah, it was. And it was better when it was wet, but I really had to keep it wet until I, you know, was obviously sweating and it was keeping itself wet. But initially, I had a hard time getting it to read. It would just turn off on me and not get any reading.
Were you inside or outside when you had that problem?
Inside.
You were inside. One of the points I was going to make is when you get into really cold temperatures, like what you all have up in Minnesota right now and probably what we have in West Virginia, which is where I'm from, every once in a while you'll find that the cold temperature will definitely affect it. And I think one of the reasons is just because the body maybe is not as warm. How many times did that happen to you whenever you had problems with it?
I mean, I probably wore it 5 or 6 times, and I'd say I had problems with it just about every time I wore it.
It, you know what? It could be every once in a while you'll get people who don't have good signal. You know,
right.
Do you ever have a problem with your other heart rate monitor?
Very rarely.
Very rarely. I'm not really sure exactly what was happening there. If that is a problem, then what I'd probably do is try another garment.
Mm-hmm.
And see if maybe it's not just garment specific, you know,
right.
for whatever reason. Because traditionally, you can get good signal. And one of the things you can do to even try it out, or like if you want to demonstrate this in your class or something, if you take the bra and you just put your thumbs on the sensors and rub those together, you know, usually your fingers have to be a little moist on that, you ought to be able to get the transmission pretty quickly. If you take the garment and you put water on your fingers and you rub it on there and you cannot get a heart rate, I would probably return that to NuMetrics and just tell them, you know, I'm not getting consistent signal there.
Okay.
This is Amy, and I have a really hard time with my hard strap. I have problems consistently. Now, when John mentioned to me that the panel was having a hard time with the garment, interestingly enough, I had no problem with the garment. I pop it on and it picked up my signal immediately. So go figure.
Well, and let me ask you, were all of you using the same transmitter? Was everybody using a NuMetrics transmitter that snapped in, or were using Polar?
I was using Polar.
This is Amy and I was using John's Polar.
This is Jesse, and I was using the NuMetrics and I had no problems picking up my heart rate.
So let's take a count. How many people had a problem using the Polar transmitter? Nobody?
I did.
One person?
Yeah, this is Kara, and I used the Polar transmitter, and it wasn't working at first, and I actually ended up changing the battery in it, and that made a world of difference. And it was on the chest strap, using the regular chest strap with it, it was fine, but I guess the battery was just weak enough that it wasn't picking it up with the bra. And when I changed the battery, then I definitely, it was picking it up fine.
Good. Yeah, lots of times we forget that batteries can still be an issue. So, you know, again, if you were having problems with that, check your battery.
Alinda, this is Amy, and I just had a question about the sizing. I'm not a particularly big gal, but I ordered a large, and it was perfect for me. Has Numetrics considered maybe expanding the sizing or changing it a bit, like an extra small, small, medium, large, and extra large?
I know that they have talked about it. I don't know what the plans are. There are some very, very big plans for these garments.
Okay.
And, in fact, it's already in the works. And I don't feel that I'm at total liberty to give that information. You know, I think we will see it expanded into different sizes. I think we're going to see it expanded into different shapes. You all received the bra. There is also the sports top. And there is a men's top. One of the biggest reasons that men will not wear a heart rate monitor is they don't want to wear a strap. And so I think this shirt that they have, you know, is one of the answers to that. But it's more of a form-fitted shirt. So if you have a really buff guy, they like it. But if somebody wants a looser fit shirt, it isn't in that.
Yeah, John really likes his. It's really tight, and he wears it around all the time.
There you go. See, Buff John. That's a compliment, John. All right. Is there anything else that you all would like to discuss about the product?
I had two comments.
Okay.
Actually, the one thing was about the fit. I got the size medium, and I would consider myself probably on the smaller size. And while it was really comfortable, it did give me the same problems that almost all sports bras give me. I guess it's because I'm short, but if the top of the bra would be cut like an inch or two higher, that would be great, because I have cleavage hanging out, and that drives me crazy. But I have that problem with 90% of the sports bras that I try on. So that was one thing, and again, it was very comfortable. But the other thing is that I have just a regular analog heart rate monitor, and it worked great with that. But I was a little bit sad because it didn't work with my, I had a Polar monitor that it uses a coded strap, and you can download it to the computer, and it would not pick up with that, and it would also not pick up with my Garmin GPS.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So let's talk about that for a minute, because I think this is a good point in education. As I mentioned before, well, let's just look at it this way. There are four different types of heart rate monitor transmissions. One is analog. You know, that's just going to send the signal everywhere, okay? So if you have an analog watch, okay, that's what it's going to pick it up, or an analog heart rate monitor. So these transmitters are analog, okay? Now, the digital, and this is coming, what they are going to work on is a transmitter that could be digital. So you could use that with a Garmin. You could use that with a Suunto, you could use it with the Timex digital, okay? So there are actually two different transmitters there, whether it would be analog or digital, and that's eventually the way we'll probably buy it, okay? And the problem is most people don't know whether they have an analog monitor or whether they have a digital monitor. Now, with the Polar coded strap or any coded strap, that code is set for that system and that system only. So it wouldn't matter if you put on somebody else's analog strap, you still probably would not pick that up in your coded monitor. So yeah, that is an issue, but you know, I don't know, unless the manufacturers decided to manufacture a transmitter that could be programmed to your coded monitor, you know, I don't think it would work. I think the answer eventually, in my opinion, and this is strictly my opinion, I think the answer to most of our heart rate monitors, especially the upper end monitors, I think is really going to be more down the digital line. Any other comments about the garment?
Are you able to use it in a pool? I didn't try it because I wasn't sure.
You know what? You can, but we have not done a lot of testing on it in a pool. I have personally used it in a pool. Whatever you do, whatever monitor you're using, do not push your buttons on your watch when you're using that in a swimming pool. I have used it in a pool, but we've not done any testing that I am aware of.
This is Donette Hoffman, and I have actually worn mine in the pool, although I didn't really use it. I wasn't swimming. I was just teaching a class in there.
And how'd it do?
It works. It seems to still work after. So, I mean, and I was submerged for 45 minutes.
Great. Great. Yeah, I was training for a triathlon, and I would wear mine, you know, to go swimming or whatever. Okay, well, I tell you what, let's move this conversation a little bit into discussion about how to use a heart rate monitor in an indoor cycle class. And I'm as anxious to hear your comments and how you might do that as you are probably to ask me any questions. Have you had opportunity to read the Coach's Corner and some of the articles on the Coach's Corner with regard to heart rate?
Yes, I have. Yes.
Good. Well, first of all, let me just open it up, and how about if you all tell me a little bit about how you're using heart rate monitors in your cycle class?
Dr. Linda, this is Jennifer. I just wanted to share a little story. I have an older gentleman in my class who's in his early 60s, and he didn't have a heart rate monitor for the longest time, and then he finally got one. And he was finding that according to, you know, the traditional target heart rate charts, his heart rate was much higher than, you know, the 70-80% prediction for his age range. But he said, but I don't feel like I'm going that hard. And he said he noticed that his heart rate would go much higher. So then when I gave him your article about finding the anchor points for your heart rate, he found that really very helpful. So I thought that was great education to be able to pass on to him.
Great. And let me say that, you know, I think what you'll find is if we use the old age formulas, and there's a wonderful article that you each of you need to pick to go and look at. It's in the American Journal of Exercise Physiology, May 2002. It's written by Robergs and Landmeyer. And this article, or it's not really an article, it's a review of the research, shows that all mathematical formulas for heart rate are refuted. Now, what does that mean? It means then that for all of us, you know, whether we're 60 or whether we're 40 or whether we're 80, if we use that old 220 minus age formula, chances are we really do not have our correct zones. All right? And whether you use a three-zone system or a four-zone system or a five-zone system, you know, we still don't have our correct zones if we're going off of age-related. So particularly with this gentleman, if you had used 220 minus age, his max heart rate would have come out to be like 160. Well, you know, he may see 150 on a regular basis, particularly if his max heart rate is somewhere between 180 and 200, which it may well be. So, you know, I really encourage you to find those anchor points and then evaluate what zones you're going to use based on those anchor points, because if you don't, chances are your people are going to underwork. And I think that's one of the first things people really understand is when they put their heart rate monitor on and they try to sustain work at certain levels, they're all of a sudden, oh my gosh, if I try to do a steady state workout for 5 minutes at a certain heart rate, they're already totally buying in to the fact that it is much harder to sustain work using heart rate than if they just try to ride in class and use perceived exertion.
I agree. I had a lady that just got a heart rate monitor, and she realized she was underworking. So now when I teach, I give her cues to reach certain heart rate goals based on some of those calculations. And I tell her, you know, their averages and everything. Now she works a little bit harder, and then she knows how to back it off and rest and doing an active recovery and then work it hard again when we interval train.
Yeah, that is excellent. And how many of you are having problems where half the class comes in with a heart rate monitor and the other half doesn't?
Yes, I have.
Most of my students don't.
Yes.
That seems to be an issue.
Yes.
Well, yes. Here's one of the ways that I would suggest. This is just like a very simple way to get people to buy in, okay? Instead of trying to use perceived exertion, and it's very difficult to tell everybody, let's go to 150, because 150 for you and 150 for me may be two totally different percents. It could be 75% for one student and 65%. But what I often do is when a person does not have a heart rate monitor and the other person does, then I'm going to direct them and I'm going to say, okay, now we're all going to work at what you would think would be 50% of your maximal effort. 50% of your maximal effort. And then I'll ask someone in the class, what heart rate are you holding right now? And I'll say, we're going to hold this number, and we're going to hold it for 3 minutes. And as they hold that number for 3 minutes, I'll ask them right in class, when you hold this for 3 minutes, are you working harder? Are you having to work harder? Or are you backing off? And inevitably, they'll say, this is harder because I'm having to hold the heart rate. That automatically tells the person right beside of them, gee, you know, wonder how hard I'm working. You know, so, you know, it's a way to get people to kind of buy into the idea, because what we don't know, and I tell people right up front, you really don't know at what heart rate you're working at. You don't know at what percent you're working at when you're using perceived exertion. So I'll use somebody, you know, in a good way, not in a negative way. I'll say, tell me, are you working harder right now, do you think, than you know, as we're holding this steady state? And steady state heart rates, ones that you hold over a period of time, are your most effective conditioning methods for endurance training. And most people who come to our cycle classes are coming for some form of endurance training, I think. What other questions do we have with regard to using heart rate training in your cycle class? Anybody out there?
This is Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Charlotte.
Thanks. I don't have anybody really in my class that has a heart rate, unfortunately, and it's very hard to, you know, I talk about it, but, you know, they just kind of look at me like I'm some silly person. I have one on, but a lot of times I hardly ever really get a chance to even look at my own watch and really watch what I'm doing, and I'm trying to, you know, as I'm watching everybody. Does everybody else have that, where they're really not paying attention to their own working out?
Yeah, this is Janet Hoffman.
Yeah.
I agree with you completely. It's hard to, my class, maybe two or three of them come in with the heart rate monitor. And, it's hard to even check your own while you're teaching and cueing and, you know, keeping everyone interested and making sure they're working and that kind of thing.
So it's really hard to, like, promote when I'm the only one that has it. About the only time that I really look at it and get a sense of things is kind of on my recovery, where after we just exert ourselves and it's, okay, I want you to get that heart rate back in line before we go at it again, you know, for the next segment, you know. And so I at least get something in there, but I just don't seem to, I can't seem to work it in. I've only been doing this for 2 years. So teaching, I'm finding it difficult. And I hardly ever go to any classes because of my full-time job. So I'm kind of losing that connection with the whole heart rate like I did prior to teaching.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about two things right here, and thanks for bringing that up. Number one, I want to talk about recovery rates, okay? And the reason I want to talk about recovery rates is because recovery is a wonderful indication of how fit the client is. And when you use a heart rate monitor, one of the things you'll find is you will use all of these assessments, okay? And that's really going to allow us to assess the fitness of our student, and they can assess themselves. So I'm really glad you brought out the fact of recovery, because without a heart rate monitor, you cannot take pulses accurately. In fact, the research shows that when you take a pulse, carotid pulse, you are usually, or even if you're taking it from the wrist, doesn't matter which way you're taking it, in fitness, we are approximately 12 beats off. That's a lot. You know, that's a whole lot. So if you're taking a recovery rate, you know, using a carotid pulse, you know, you're going to be about plus or minus 12. Well, what's the point if you're that far off? But if you're looking at heart rate, within 1 minute, you can measure exactly how many beats you have recovered. Now, and there are some guidelines about how many beats you should recover based on where you have been working, okay? And usually within a 1 minute period of time, we like to see about 20 beat recovery, all right? So if someone doesn't see the value in using a heart rate monitor, one of the very first things you can use is to tell them, okay, today's class, what we're going to try to do is we're going to count exactly how many beats you recover in a minute after we do this particular drill. Okay, so let's say that you did some type of a cadence drill and this drill went on for 3 minutes or something like that, and then you did a recovery. So you can see exactly what it is. If you repeat that same drill a month from now, all right, you can look at recovery. If their recovery numbers have increased, then they are going to be fitter at that time. If they've decreased, it may be an indication that they've overtrained, maybe they haven't been consistent in their exercise pattern, you know, maybe their immune system is compromised. So there are a number of different things. With regard to teaching with your heart rate monitor on as an instructor, one thing you need to do is put the heart rate monitor on the bike handlebar where you watch it. It's not on your wrist. You're looking at your heart rate monitor. I teach every class with heart rate monitor. And, you know, all of my students, when they come in, they have heart rate monitors. If somebody comes in the room and they don't have a heart rate monitor, I have one in my bag. I pull it out. I strap them on them. You know, I've got extras. And that's how we start every class. So and I'm always giving educational information, like about the recovery rate, you know, and they'll know, oh, yeah, you know, my recovery's improving, or, oh, gosh, my recovery's not good. The same way, when I'm riding my bicycle outside, I have my heart rate monitor. My heart rate monitor is as important to me as my cycle computer or my power tap, because it tells me exactly what my heart rate, you know, where I'm riding and what response my heart rate is, even to power that I may be producing. So, you know, I encourage you, the very first thing to do is put that heart rate monitor on your handlebars on your indoor bike and start watching it. It will be very interesting for you. One of the first experiences I would suggest that you try is to try to hold your heart rate steady at certain levels. And I would just tell you, pick, I don't care what number you pick, I want you to see if you can hold that heart rate steady. See how you have to adjust your resistance. See how you have to change your leg speed. See what happens in all of that. And just experiment with, can you hold a heart rate steady within 2 beats for 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes? And that is your first experience with heart rate if you're not familiar with teaching with it. And in the Zonex system, you know, there are guidelines that you use. And when I come in and train instructors in their clubs, you know, we go through all the guidelines. We go through, well, how do you format that class using heart rate? Well, if I've got half the students using it and half of the students not using it, you know, how do I teach a class to all those people?
Well, I know one of the things I wanted to try just on my own, if when I got the chance, was from the internet, the assess your target heart rate in less than 15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Where you have, you know, you go through the whole thing, you know, by holding, you know, you're trying to find your zones.
Yes.
The three, and how you, and then I think there was something on there that you go and do a 45-minute workout, and where you aren't you holding something, you increase to the next zone, and then you kind of hold.
Exactly, exactly.
And that's
exactly
something that I did want to try just on my own, because I just don't have the opportunity to do something like that in my classes, and I figured that would be something very useful so that I could start getting used to this heart rate a lot better and then start incorporating it in my classes.
Yes, so, and that three-zone system is a real simple way to get people to start, because all they really have to do is easy, moderate, hard. And if somebody cannot hold hard, if they're a beginner or maybe they're recovering from chemo or whatever they might be doing, you can use the numbers that you get off of the easy system and off of the moderate, and you can evaluate your zones based on that. Does that make sense, everyone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically what you do is you go in and you have your client, you know, warm up really good. And I am a big believer in when you do a warm up, it needs to be at least 7 to 10 minutes long. And if you're going to do some, you know, if you're going to do some hard work, then for a minute, you know, work hard and then come back and go to easy, record your heart rate, okay? Then go to moderate, record the heart rate, then go to hard. And you have to hold that at least 3 minutes. Doesn't count, you know, and give yourself a minute to get to that next level. And you'll see that within, you know, you'll probably increase around 10 to 15 beats going from easy to moderate, maybe even 20. But go to those numbers, hold them for 3 minutes, then use your values and set your zones, and each zone will be a 20-beat range. And then when you cue that or when you try to work it yourself, then you go and you say, okay, I'm going to hold the middle of zone one. I'm going to hold the middle of zone two. I'm going to hold the middle of, you know, maybe not the middle of zone three, because that might be really hard. But, you know, then set your time. Do everything based on time.
I'd like to start implementing more this kind of teaching rather than just what you're feeling, you know, as we do the five or the four zones, you know, and it's just by, you know, your talk or whatever, you know, and it's just like, okay, this is where you're going to be and that's it. It's too broad.
I just
don't think people are really understanding anything, and they're just working way, way harder than they should be.
Yes, that's exactly right. One of the points, and here's what happens, here's what I really find happens. People work really hard, but then they back off so much that it's kind of like a little yo-yo. And what you're really looking at in training is you want to be able to hold heart rates more consistently. So if people work really hard and then all of a sudden they recover 50 beats and they're down there 50 beats, then they're working so easy that did it really count? You know what I'm saying? So
right.
What you want to do is when you put a heart rate monitor on them, they definitely, if they're only increasing, I taught a class today, I only let them increase 5 beats at a time, okay? Mm-hmm. 5 beats, that's all they could do. They had to hold those for 6 minutes. Now, granted, this group is getting ready to ride a 500-mile ride. This was, you know, it's very important that they train to hold those heart rates for longer periods of time, because that's what they're going to do when they go outside.
Right.
And people talk about, you know, fat burning and how to burn more calories. Well, one of the best ways to burn more calories is to have consistency in what they're doing. Then when they raise the heart rate and get closer to their major fat-burning area, then they're going to be able to sustain that work. Same thing with power. Same thing with power, which I absolutely love training with power. You know, if you look at power, the idea here is to be able to be more consistent, not to fluctuate so much. And most of us can't train with power on indoor because, you know, it's not universal yet on all of our bikes. But those who do have some of those great Cyclops indoor bikes are starting to see some real nice effects of training with power.
You guys, this is Amy, and we really have time for one more question.
Anybody have a question? How's our Navy doing down there? One of the things that I've had opportunity to do is work with a lot of the military, and I think they have definitely bought into, or a lot of bases have bought into the idea of training with heart rate monitors, because they constantly have to pass certain fitness tests. And I think that one of the things they're seeing is if you can give people a heart rate monitor and help them understand what they're trying to do, they're a little more motivated to try to, you know, really work toward passing those fitness tests.
This is Angie. Yeah, I teach with the Navy a lot, and actually I recommend heart rate monitors to everybody who comes in the office, everybody who comes to the class. Unfortunately, I wish the Navy would issue them, because a lot of times they won't go out and buy them because of the price. But once I strap one onto them, get somebody using it for a while, they do see the value of it. And I tell them it's like getting a little report card every time you work out. How did your workout go? And it is a very motivating tool for them. So I'm starting to see at our base a lot more of our participants coming in with them.
Great. Yes, I like the idea of the report card. That's great. Yeah, a heart rate monitor is your report card, isn't it? Any other questions?
This is Jennifer in Madison. I have just one more quick question.
Sure.
In terms of the difference between, say, indoor cycle and maybe a treadmill workout,
uh-huh.
Do you think there are variations in people's, like, threshold or, you know, their zones? Because when I ride on my bike versus when I run it, what I feel I can sustain, my heart rate is lower on the bike than it is when I run.
Yes, and thank you for mentioning that, because here is the truth of the whole zone development. When you are on a bike, how much of your body are you using? Mostly your lower body, right? So your zones on your bike may actually be a little lower than your zones when running, because in running, you're using your upper body. So heart rate zones are sport specific. If you look at swimming, because of the mammalian reflex when you put your face in the water and because of the horizontal position in the water, your zones will be a little lower. So if you have a triathlete, you can actually test them in all three areas. Now, if somebody's just using heart rate in indoor cycle class and they're on the bike, well, you don't have to get into that whole discussion. But that is a very good point. If you are using a treadmill, or you're running outside and you're also biking outside, you may want to determine your easy, moderate, hard for both running and cycling. And what I find generally is there's about a five beat difference.
Okay.
Generally. Don't hold me to that, but, you know, 5-8 beat difference.
Well, you guys, I really want to thank you all for participating, and thank you, Dr. Linda. This will post next weekend. Just really thank you, you guys. Keep wearing your NuMetrix sport bras, and I know we're all going to wear them even when we're not heart rate monitoring, because we love them.
Hey, Amy, can I just add one thing?
Of course.
For all of you guys, and I don't know if this will be on the podcast or not, but my email address is Alinda, that's A-L-I-N-D-A, .Perrine, P-E-R-R-I-N-E, @suddenlink.net. And I would love to hear from you individually, and because I like to keep instructors, you know, I like to keep a group of instructors that I can email to or get information from, or if there are certain opportunities that are coming up, I'd love to share information and also learn from you. So I really appreciate you calling in tonight.
Perfect. And you guys, John will have Dr. Linda's email on the website, and he will also have a link to her articles that I believe Charlotte mentioned. So he'll have a link to the article and also to have your email posted, Dr. Linda.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, thanks, everybody. Have a great
night.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.